Proverbs chapter 4, and those of you already ahead of me and already know the subject matter and what that phrase is connected with, but we're going to exalt, we're going to promote, we're going to remind ourselves of the importance of wisdom. I don't know about you, but going into a brand new year, I need a lot of wisdom. It's two portions, two areas of the Bible that I kind of doubled up on in the last several months because of my circumstance of life, but I knew that I would need to spend a lot more time in the Psalms. I appreciate Brother Young. He covered the pulpit one Wednesday night early on while I was doing chemo, and he talked about the importance of the poetry books of the Bible. And, you know, you think of poetry, those of you that have studied it a little bit, you know, it involves meter, it involves rhyme. And he said one of the reasons we're drawn to the poetry books during tough times in our life is because it reestablishes a rhythm and a meter back into our lives. And I love that statement. And so I've been drawn into the Psalms especially and doubled up there. And then knew that the Lord would, that I would need a lot of the Lord's wisdom during this time in my life. So I doubled up on my Proverbs reading too and have spent extra time in it. And so it shouldn't surprise me, I guess, that out of that extra time, the Lord stirred my heart to come to a pulpit and just remind our church, folks, listen to me, God has given us a source of great wisdom. And but you know what? We have to go get it. We have to go get it. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1, Proverbs 4, verse number 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Notice these verses. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the emphasis, Lord, this morning, the emphasis on in the Bible of the importance of wisdom. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to come out of this service more determined to pursue it, a better understanding of how to do so. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. My prayer this morning is that the message will inspire you to begin a journey or to continue on a journey if you're already on it. My hopes are that it will place you on a path that you'll never forsake. This morning I want to speak on the importance of wisdom, and I want to let the Word of God convince you of the value of wisdom. I want to urge you to spend your life pursuing wisdom. You know what? I don't know what you will face this year, but you know what? I know this, you're going to need the wisdom of God. I don't know what decisions you'll have to make this year, but I know this, if you're going to make those decisions and make them correctly, you're going to need the wisdom of God. You know, I don't know who will come to you. Think about this. Who will come to you needing advice or help or direction or counsel, but I know this. Hey, parents, if you're going to help your children, grandparents, we're going to help our grandchildren. Oh, hey, husbands, if we're going to help our wives, and wives, if we're going to help our husbands, or perhaps some dear friend would come to us. You know what, folks? If we're going to truly help these people in our lives, we need the wisdom of Almighty God. You know, every time I read verse 5 through 7 in this chapter, you know, I always stop a little bit in amazement. I mean, to hear God announce to us what in his estimation is, here's the phrase, the principal thing. And then not only to have him announce what it is, but then to challenge us to get it. And I like that little phrase, with all thy getting. You say, preacher, what does that mean? What does that mean? What it means is this, if you're going to If you're going to get wisdom, you're going to have to put your full effort into it, your best effort, your most intense effort. And if there is one place that is worthy to put all of that effort into, it is in the pursuit of wisdom. You know, in my book on the teenage years of Jesus Christ, on the chapter on godly wisdom, I open in the very first paragraph of that chapter by saying to our young people, the pursuit of wisdom needs to be the principal priority of your teenage years. And you know what? I can make that statement and make it with a surety and boldness because I know that it is backed up by the Word of God. You know, in this portion of scriptures, we look at these first nine verses just real quickly. We see the importance of wisdom. The Bible calls it the principal thing and then tells us because it is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, young people, I'm going to speak a lot to you, but as I'm speaking to young people, I don't know if any of us ever outgrow our need of wisdom. I mean, I feel like in some ways at 61 years of age, I need wisdom more than I've ever needed it in my life. And so even though I may address the young people, let's all let the Bible help us this morning, all right? Hey, young people, wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means the first in place, the first in time, the first in order, the first in rank. It means the chiefest or the most important. So we see the importance of wisdom. And then we see the value of wisdom. It's personally beneficial to each and every one of us to take God up on this challenge to, with all our getting, get wisdom. Look, if you will, glance at the scripture there in verse number 6. The Bible says that wisdom will preserve thee. She shall keep thee. In verse number 8, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. In verse number 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Verse number 10, the years of thy life shall be many. Verse number 12, how about this? Boy, this is a great promise. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And then verse number 13 encourages us to keep her. And look at that last little phrase. For she is thy life. Go over, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 8, and I want to put kind of an exclamation point on this portion of scripture as we talk about the value of wisdom. I love this chapter. As you pursue wisdom, chapter number 8 is going to be key in that pursuit. You know, in this chapter, God allows wisdom to be personified. What does that mean? It allows wisdom to become a person, to have a voice, to speak directly to us. Notice what we read in the first few verses here. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the path. By the way, notice where she goes to. Notice where she stands. She's just not crying out. She picks specific locations to do it in. Think about that, verse 2. She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth where? At the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. And then we see in verse number 4, wisdom is personified. Wisdom is allowed a voice. Wisdom is allowed to be a person for this chapter. And from verse number 4 down to the end of the chapter, wisdom is speaking directly to us. Let me just say before we get into that, because I want to show you how valuable it is, and that's why I brought you over here, so we'll read just a few more verses. But let me ask you something. Is anyone... Come on, in 2023, is anyone hearing the cry of wisdom? You know what, folks? We should be pursuing wisdom, but what we see in this portion of scripture is that God sends wisdom to pursue us. Every single place where wisdom is standing is a high traffic area where people pass by. Hey, can we just take our earbuds out long enough? Come on, young people. Just to hear the voice of wisdom crying out. Can we turn down the TV and turn off the radio long enough just to hear the voice of wisdom beg for a few minutes of our time? You see, folks, listen to me. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, God, you hid it, or God, you did not make it easy for me to find. Matter of fact, the Lord has made it especially easy for Americans because we have such easy access to this book, this incredible book of wisdom. Listen, I believe wisdom wants our attention. It wants our time to the point where it's willing to chase us and pursue us and cry unto us and plead with us and beg us. But we have to ask the question, how are we responding to that? I want to say it again. How many are hearing it? Is anyone listening anymore? So we see wisdom stand here in these high traffic areas and cry out. We talked about the importance of wisdom. We talk about the value of wisdom. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 8. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. He said this, if you got a choice between a bag of silver and wisdom, walk past that bag of silver and grab wisdom. You got a choice between a truckload of gold and wisdom, then you know what? Head towards wisdom and pick it up. Because folks, listen to me, wisdom is better than rubies. And this astounding statement after that, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In other words, all the things we normally and naturally desire and we'll spend so much time chasing, you know what? Those things compared to wisdom, they are nothing. Look at verse 18 in the same chapter. By the way, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture today. We're going to spend some time in Proverbs. I'm going to exalt it. You know what I'm doing this morning? Wisdom's crying, and I'm going to stand beside wisdom, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add my voice to hers for the morning service. I guess this preacher's going to say, please somebody listen. Please somebody, in this day and age where we spend all of our time reading so much foolishness and listening to so much foolishness and being influenced by so much foolishness, can we set those things aside? Can we hear the voice of wisdom? Can we refocus our energies, come on, and our attention back to where it ought to be? And so I'm going to stand beside her and lift up my voice beside her and say, hey, she's telling you the truth. She can change your life. She can make it better. And wisdom brings great value. Proverbs 8, verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And so we see the importance of wisdom. Then we see the value of wisdom. Boy, that's just a drop in the bucket. With the examination of scriptures that support that idea. But I want you to also understand the character of wisdom. We're in chapter 8, so let's stay there. In chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Now, folks, listen to me. It's very important that we discern between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Because you know what? The world will try to convince you that, you know what, if you trot off to the university and you get you 2 or 3 degrees, then you're wise. But there is a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. And one of the things that always identifies the wisdom of God is it is always connected to righteousness. You know, it's so important that we pursue the wisdom of God because, you know what, it will help us then to discern when we listen to men whether or not what they're saying is truly wise or whether or not it is foolishness disguised as wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 6 and think about how many times you hear the word right and righteous. Look at verse 6 here, for I speak of what? Excellent things. And the opening of my lips, come on, this is wisdom speaking, shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So if somebody's trying to convince me that they're sharing wisdom with me, but that wisdom is baptized, come on, double dipped in wickedness, I can pretty much chalk it up that that's not the wisdom of God. Let's read on here. Verse number 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or what? Boy, we live in a perverse world, folks, and so many people that want to pretend to be wise. The honest truth is, if you listen to what they're saying, they're promoting perverseness, perverseness. Look at verse 9. They are all plain to him that hath understanding and right to them that find knowledge. Matter of fact, Proverbs 8:20, I love this little verse. I lead thee in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Chapter 8, verse 20. Did you go down and see that? I lead thee in the way of righteousness in the midst. Listen, you know how I know it's the wisdom of God? I'm going to check the path it's putting me on. I'm going to make sure it's always heading towards righteousness. It's always encouraging me to do the right. I'm talking about the character of wisdom. Because, folks, there's a lot of things trying to be pawned off as wisdom today that are not wisdom. Be careful, be careful, be careful. James chapter 3 warns us about this. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Boy, there's a lot of people standing up claiming to be that person. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion, every evil work. But the wisdom, listen to this, that is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness, there it is again, is sown in peace of them that make peace. Save your place there in Proverbs, but flip over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I think one of the reasons that the church of Corinth got in the trouble that they got into and got off on the wrong path, come on, got into carnality, got into wickedness, got into sinfulness, began to wink at things that God doesn't wink at, begin to tolerate things God says is intolerable, is because they got mixed up in this matter of what is the wisdom of man and what is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians, you're there, chapter number 3. Let's start there, chapter number 3. I'm going to take you to three different portions of Scripture. We'll go in chapter 3 and go back to chapter 2 and end up in chapter 1. We're going to go a little backwards, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18. Boy, this is worthwhile laying the foundation. Come on, think about this. Young people, engage your intention on purpose, you know. We're going to find out that if you're going to get wisdom, you got to put some effort into it, amen? And so look at verse number 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And what he's saying to men is this. If you have a wisdom that is exalting yourself against the wisdom of God, then you know what? You need to humble yourself. Come on now. You know what? You need to proclaim yourself as a fool so that you can learn real wisdom. Go to chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians and let's look at verse number 1. And again, listen, folks, if we don't pursue wisdom, next thing you know, we'll be drenched in carnality. If we don't pursue wisdom, we'll end up on the wrong path. And the character of wisdom is always connected to the righteousness of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And what he's talking about there is I didn't come with a bunch of highfalutin words to try to impress you, and I didn't come with the wisdom of men. He's not speaking against the wisdom of God here. He's speaking against the wisdom of men. Now notice verse 2, that will become plain. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of, here it is, man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand, oh, come on, folks, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What are you doing, preacher? I'm showing you that there's a clear distinction and we've got to be careful. So easy to begin to be taken with enticing words. So easy, I just want to say it, to read something that really sounds wise, come on, post it on Facebook, and not even consider whether or not it is and can be backed up by the scriptures. We've got to be so careful that we're not drawn away with the enticing words of men. But we really understand, folks, listen to me. If somebody's giving you advice or some piece of advice is taking away from godliness and holiness, come on, and righteousness, that is the wisdom of man. It is not the wisdom of God. I don't care how pretty it sounds. And so think about that, all right? Now let's go back one more chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Think about this, chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Let's read on. For it is written, I will destroy, here we go, the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's talking again about those that have the wisdom or the so-called prudence of the world. Here he's going to ask the question, where is the wise, verse 20? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. I love verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Oh, I hope I've given you enough scripture to convince you that we better be wise. You know, before you chalk something up as being wisdom, you better check its character. Because if it does not have the character of God, which is the character, by the way, of holiness and righteousness, come on now, sanctification. If it's putting you on a path towards the world, then don't tell me that it's wisdom. If it's trying to help you feel good about your sin, then don't tell me that it's wisdom. Because you know what? God's wisdom will always draw us to Jesus Christ and to holiness and to sanctification. Proverbs 21:30 sums it up. I'll read the verse to you. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Let me say it again. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, Proverbs 21:30, nor counsel against the Lord. So any advice that is, or anything that promotes itself as wise, that is against the Lord, you know what? That is not true wisdom. I guess if I had another title for the message, I'd entitle it this, get it, get it, get it. Because it's here. It's there, it's available. But you know what? God puts it on us to put some effort into it. Let's go back to our original text in Proverbs chapter number 4. And I want to help you this morning. Now that we've established some things, I want to give you some very practical things that I hope will help you. Let's let the Bible teach us. Preacher, all right, it is the principal thing. And God said to get it. And you know what? It's my responsibility to get it. Boy, there's value in it, preacher. Yes! And there's an importance to it. Yes, it's the principal thing. By the way, there's a character to it. Yes, it ought to always draw us towards the Lord and towards purity and towards righteousness. Preacher, how do I get it? I'm a young person here. How do I get wisdom? I want to be that rare exception. I'm ready to turn off the world and turn off all the devices and for the first time maybe ever really hear wisdom cry out. I want to accept wisdom's invitation. I want to be a wise young person. Well, let's start in chapter 4 in our text. Come on, verse number 1. How do you get it? Get it, get it. You get it through your parents. You get it through your parents. Look at verse number 1. Hear ye children the what? instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I will give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. This needs to be said to a generation of young people. Listen to me, I think we've got great kids around here, and I watch you and I root for you and I pray for you. When I'm away from here, I brag about you. But I want to tell you something. The devil don't want you to have a good relationship with your dad. And the devil don't want you to have a good relationship with your mother. And one of the reasons he wants to try to break up that relationship and give you a haughty know-it-all attitude. Start tuning out mom and dad. Come on, walking around like you're a know-it-all all the time. Shame on you. Every time dad tries to share something with you, you want to just sit there and roll your eyes. Come on now, check your heart out. Every time mom sits down and wants to correct something in your life, that old pride rises up. You know why the devil works so hard? Try to get young people to turn off mom and turn off dad. You better listen to me, because that is going to be an important source in your life of the teaching of wisdom. And if you turn that off, you're going to miss a lot. Well, my parents aren't perfect. Well, I don't see that as a qualification in the Bible for you to listen to them. Guess what? Nobody's perfect. Stop saying stuff like that. It's foolish. I get it. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I think we know that. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Stop hiding behind that nonsense. The very fact that they're not perfect is why they have some of the wisdom that they have. Come on now. The fact that they've made some mistakes in life is one of the reasons they have the wisdom they have. You ought to be smart enough to learn from people that, yeah, have done a lot of things the right way and maybe a handful of things the wrong way. But you know what? They were smart enough to learn from them. And they're trying to keep you from making some of the same mistakes. And so listen to them. Listen, this is such an important relationship and such a sacred relationship. And the Bible attaches so many verses and so many promises to this relationship. Young person, if you'll just keep your heart pure and you'll just get this thing right, and if you'll just refuse to let the devil, you know what, drive a wedge between your mom and your dad and you, and listen to me, keep a tender heart and keep a teachable spirit. Children, listen, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Then it goes on to say, honor thy father and thy mother. For it is the first commandment with promise. Listen to it. There's a promise attached. I love it. I love it when I just see a young person that just says, you know what, if everybody else wants to go through this so-called necessary phase in their teenage life, have a bad relationship with mom and a bad relationship with dad, and they somehow get tricked into thinking that that's some type of a display of their independence and maturity. You know, I just love the young person that says, you know what, if the rest of you want to sign up for that, go ahead. But that's not what my King James Holy Bible teaches me to do. I'm going to honor my father and my mother. You know what? You know why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And I just love it when we have some Christian young people that have enough Bible sense and maturity. Come on, enough love for God just to lay all that nonsense aside and say, hey, you know what? I'm just not going to, I'm not, if that's a phase, I'm going to skip it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going through that. I'm going to keep a sweet and precious relationship with my parents, because folks, young people, listen to me, that is where you're going to get a lot of your wisdom. Some of us know the old saying and we can relate to it. Come on, the older I got, the smarter my daddy became. And the honest truth is, he was smart all along. But sometimes you have to go through some things, get a little maturity about you. Preacher, but I don't understand all that they're trying to tell me. And I don't understand where they always draw the lines. And I don't understand why they won't let me do some things. And I don't understand why they caution me in some areas. Well, I promise you, if I could fast forward you into life 20 years, you'll understand every single one of them. But you know what? That's why the Bible says, listen, you don't, in your children's year, in your teenage year, you don't need to always understand. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know what? When mom and dad sometimes can't always explain all the reasons, and they simply say, because I say so, you know what? Listen, that ought to be enough. That ought to be enough. So we see, first of all, that if you're going to get wisdom, you get it through your parents. Number two, go to James chapter number one. James chapter number one. We get it through our parents, and I'm going to give you three P's. How about that? Number two, we get it through prayer. Through prayer. Boy, this is a simple one. I'm giving you a good formula here. Yeah, this is simple. Preacher, I want to pursue wisdom. All right, then go home and make up with mama. Come on, go home and get things right with daddy. Come on, get that stuff out of your head and out of your heart. Because if you're gonna grow in wisdom, then you know what? You got to understand that that's one of the primary places you're going to get it. In James chapter 1, look at verse 4 and 5. I love this. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Notice this promise. I love it. And it shall be given him. And you know what, folks? We get wisdom through listening to our parents. And sometimes, by the way, I could expand that a little bit. God has put a lot of people into your life. I'm talking about people that love you and people that walk with the Lord and people that are, you know, your Sunday school teacher's trying to give you wisdom. Come on, your Christian school teachers are trying to give you wisdom. Come on, your pastor this morning is trying to give you wisdom. Hey, grandma and grandpa, tap into it, man. Tap into it. There's a lot of places if you want to pursue wisdom. We're going to talk about pursuing in just a minute, but if you want to pursue wisdom, God has given you a lot of people that see wisdom. Come on, have the right kind of wisdom. Remember the character of wisdom. Go to the people that have the right kind of wisdom and tap into that. You can fast forward. Come on, you can become mature beyond your years. Hey, you can jump over a lot of obstacles. Come on, you can get past a lot of things that have derailed a lot of young people if you'll just be humble, set aside a haughty spirit, be teachable, and go to people that are pursuing the wisdom of God and has pursued it for years and are willing to give it to you for nothing, what a lot of times they had to learn in a very difficult manner. So think about that. We get it through our parents. We get it through prayer. It really is this simple. You want wisdom? Do you really believe it's the principal thing? Say, preacher, do you want to? I want to get it with all my getting. Then you know what? If you're going to get it, then here's a key point here. Hey, go ask for it. Go ask for it. I challenged our men. By the way, we had a great time at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday. But Brother Josh and Brother Justin showed up early. And oh, my goodness. You know, I told my wife, I don't know if, you know, men's prayer breakfast. I don't know if it's a more breakfast than prayer, more prayer than breakfast. But I'm glad they're both there. Amen. And boy, we had a good time and just a good time of fellowship and whatever. But listen to me, folks. I decided that I'd take these men's prayer breakfasts this year, and every single time we're just going to look at the subject of prayer. And one of the things I challenged them, and I won't go through the whole outline, but I was stricken with this thought. You know, we all know about the benefits of prayer, but what about the high cost of prayerlessness? What has prayerlessness cost us in our lives? What has prayerlessness cost our nation? What has prayerlessness cost our church? Come on, what has prayer? Come on, we can complain about where we're at, but could it be that most of the reason that we're where we're at is simply because, you know what, Christians have not prayed as we ought to pray? And so we really just as a group of men put our hearts together and just said, you know what, let's just see if we can step up in all areas of our lives, this matter of prayer. Just ask God to teach us how to incorporate prayer more into our family and more into our work a day, whatever our work is and our workplace and in our ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and prayer in every relationship that we have. Let's just, if there's prayerlessness and that's a problem, let's cure it by prayerfulness, because the cure for prayerlessness is prayerfulness. And so, but wait a minute. One of the costs of prayerlessness could be our lack of wisdom. Because you know what? God made an amazing promise here. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, and I always kind of smile when I read that. I thought to myself, what do you mean if any of you lack wisdom? You know why I think God worded it that way? Because there's sadly so many people that don't think they lack wisdom. You know why? Come on, let's just say it. You know why we don't pray for wisdom? Because we think we got it. We think we can live life without it. You know, one of the reasons that prayer rolls so easily off my lips, because, listen, I've learned how much I need the wisdom of God. I'm not saying I was always there, but I have learned it well how much I need the wisdom of God. And there's just too many decisions that's going to face this preacher, and too many decisions that's going to affect my family, too many decisions that could affect the entire direction of my life for me to try to walk through this thing and make decisions based on Jerry Ross's, come on, human intellect. I need the wisdom of Almighty God. And there it is. If any of you lack wisdom, here it is. Very simple. Let him ask of God. And by the way, God, that word liberally means generously. When it comes to this matter of wisdom, remember, wisdom's already pursuing us. It's already chasing us. It's already crying out. It's not like God's trying to keep it from us. I think God has all of this great and amazing and divine and supernatural wisdom stored up. And he's just looking for anyone who would just be humble enough to come up and say, I need it. And man, he just tells Gabriel, back the semi-truck up and tilt the bed up and let's just give him a truckload of it, because thank God somebody knows they need it. And so God gives it to us liberally and upbraideth not. And it says this wonderful promise shall be given him. Now I got to move on to the third point. Let me take the last few minutes and do this. Folks, we get it through, young people, your parents, you get it through prayer, but also you get it through pursuit. Pursuit. And that takes us back to our original text again. Let me read it. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forsake it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. This is one of those areas where God says it's available. And by the way, I'll be very generous with it. But you've got to pay a price to get it. You've got to put the work in. You've got to decide that you're going to pursue it. And go back, if you will, to Proverbs. And let's go to chapter 2. I love reading the first 6 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. There's a reason this portion of Scripture is found very early in the book of Proverbs, because it reminds us of the importance of our participation in the process. In Proverbs chapter 2, if you look at verse number 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And you know what? Verse number, come on, there's a then in verse number 5, but there's a bunch of ifs before there's a then. Right. And this portion of Scripture, boy, I've taught this so many times, but folks, listen to me. You know, you got to be willing to receive the words. I can preach them. Are you receiving them? Mom and Dad can talk to you. Are you receiving them? Hey, you came out of Sunday school hour. Were you open enough to receive what was taught? You see, you got to receive it. You got to incline your ear towards it. Apply your heart in verse 2. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice and beg God for it. And in verse 4, you got to seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. And again, I think God up in heaven sees somebody that gets that excited about it and understands, listen, I'm just not going to be a casual pursuer of wisdom, an occasional pursuer of wisdom. I'm going to get it with all my getting. I'm going to make it the primary pursuit of my teenage years. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to pursue it, you know. If you show me that kind of young person, oh my goodness sakes, Katie, bar the door. Look out, because that kid's about to get an anointing. Come on now. They're about to leapfrog everybody else. They're about to fast forward in their Christian life. They're about to get the attention of Almighty God. They're about to have grace poured out on them. And come on now, and an anointing poured out on them. And they're going to start receiving things they've never received before and learning things they've never learned before. Hey, young person, what's holding you back? Get it with all your getting. Get it with all your getting. Say, preacher, how do I do that? Well, listen to your prayers. Pray for it, ask for it. But I'm going to give you some real practical things here in a minute. Come on now. We've got to understand. Come on, parents. It's good for us too. We got to understand that God puts the responsibility of it on us. And he will respond to a person that makes this the mission of their life, but he also is not going to give away what is as valuable as wisdom to somebody who's going to treat it casually and carelessly. That brings us to this, and this is the main point of the message. Listen to me, folks. There's a book. There's a book. Yes, we have the entire Bible, but think about this. There's a book within the book, and that's the book of Proverbs. And I believe it is the primary wisdom book of the Bible. And I'm going to stand up here, and maybe it's because, again, I've just spent so much time saturating my soul afresh and anew with the words of Proverbs, but it's just been an amazing, it's been amazing, and maybe because of what the Lord's had me go through, I'm just paying more attention. I'm just more sensitive to it. Maybe it's just reignited my understanding of my need for it, but I have just delighted in spending time in the book of Proverbs, and I'm rediscovering things that I haven't seen in years, and I'm learning some new things that I've never seen before, and I'm having made solid some things that I guess I've always known, but there's just something wonderful about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is the primary wisdom book of the Bible. If you'll flip over a page and look at chapter number 1, you may already be right there. In the very opening words, we're told the purpose of this book, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why are we given these Proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Listen, to give subtlety to the simple. Come on, young men, and to the young men, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I guess the main purpose of the message this morning really is to say, hey, wisdom's crying, but she's crying. Come on, where did we find her crying? She's crying from the pages of the book of the Proverbs. That's where we find her. That's where we find her. And you know what? Surrounded all around her. All around her. She's crying out in chapter 8, but surrounding chapter 8 before she starts crying is 7 chapters of wisdom. And you know what? After we read her crying in chapter number 8, all the way from verse chapter number 9 to chapter number 31, you know what? Wisdom is crying out from the pages of the Word of God. The book of Proverbs, folks, is such an important book. And how in the world can we pursue wisdom and ignore the book of Proverbs? Okay, so I guess I'm up here saying, you know what? In 2023, maybe every single one of us, come on, do you have some decisions coming up? Come on, none of us know some of the things we're going to face. And you know what? Some of those things that we're going to have to face, we're going to need wisdom from God. And I don't mean we got time to go home and take 30 days and try to find. We're going to need wisdom right there, right then. Are we preparing our hearts for these moments in our life? The book of Proverbs is the primary wisdom book of the Bible. The book of Proverbs will help you to make wise decisions, to give subtlety. Come on, verse 4, chapter 1, to the simple and the young man, knowledge and discretion. In Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. You know what? We need discretion. We need prudence in the making of decisions in our life. You know, I think about George Washington Carver. By the way, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And then it says, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And when I thought about witty inventions, I thought of some of the quotes that I've read from George Washington Carver. You know what, folks? I'd like to see us have a national holiday and recognize George Washington Carver. That's what I think. You know what? Why don't we take Martin Luther King out and put George Washington Carver in his place so that we could have somebody that actually loved the Lord. Come on, was a moral man and somebody that we could focus on that taught us how we can succeed by being true to God. George Washington Carver devoted his time to research projects aimed at helping Southern agriculture. By the way, I don't have time to tell you his whole story. Every single person in here ought to find a good biography, come on, written by the world, but written by a Christian on the life of George Washington Carver. I think every inner city black kid ought to be given a biography of George Washington Carver. And you know what? He struggled to get an education, even though slavery had been abolished. Sadly, folks, sadly, that didn't mean that the oppression, come on, and the prejudice and the racism wasn't still there. And, you know, it took us decades and decades and decades to get past some of that. Some of us are still need to get past some of that. Come on now. But you know what? In a time where it was difficult for a young black man to get an education, you know what? He just said, I'm going to get it with all my getting. And you know what? Come on. Come on. We can blame circumstances, or we can spend our life blaming society for not being all we could be, or we could just roll up our sleeves. We could find a man like George Washington Carver and say, I'm going to do what he did. And you know what? He worked hard in self-education. He finally found a college that would accept him. And you know what? He devoted his life and his energies at projects aimed at helping Southern agriculture. I'm going to read some of this. Demonstrating ways in which farmers could improve their economic situation. He had a heart for poor black families that were farmers that just couldn't get what they needed to get out of the ground. There was a reason, by the way, in the South that this was true. He conducted experiments in soil management, crop production, directed an experimental farm. At this time, agriculture in the Deep South was in steep decline because the unremitting single crop cultivation of cotton had left the soil of many fields exhausted and worthless, and erosion had taken its toll on areas that could no longer sustain any plant cover. As a remedy, Carver urged Southern farmers to plant peanuts. Peanuts. He helped Jimmy Carter get in the White House, my soul. Well, I guess not everything he did was good. But anyway, and so, and peanuts and soybeans. You know why? Because he studied. He studied and he found out that those plants, when you grow them in that soil, will put nitrogen and some things back into that soil and recover that soil. And then they said, well, there's no money in raising peanuts. If we raise peanuts, there's got to be a market for it. And what do you use peanuts for except a snack? So what did he do? He went right back into the laboratory and he decided he was going to set about finding every single way that you can take a peanut. He was called the Peanut Man. The Peanut Man. And you know what? He developed over 300 marketable derivative products from peanuts, among them milk, flour, ink, dyes, plastics, wood stain, soap, linoleum, medicinal oils, cosmetics, and 118 from sweet potatoes. I'm glad there's some use for sweet potatoes. And sorry, just not a fan. Amen. Including flour and vinegar and molasses and ink and a synthetic rubber from sweet potatoes. You say, preacher, where did he get the smarts to pull all of this off? Where did he get the education that would allow him to discover all of these amazing uses from God's creation? I'll quote him and I'll let him tell you where he got them. George Washington Carver. When I was young, I said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. Then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me the mysteries of the peanuts. You know what? He also said this, God is going to reveal to us things he never revealed before if we put our hands in his. No books will ever go into my laboratory. Think about that. The thing I am to do and the way of doing it are revealed to me. I never have to grope for methods. The method is revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new without God to draw aside the curtain. Without God to draw aside the curtain, he wrote this, I would be helpless. You know what, folks? Don't tell me that there's science and then there's religion. There's science and there's a belief in God. Here's a man that was a true scientist, but you know what? He understood the best way to understand the creation is to tap into the Creator. I'm talking about witty inventions. He said this. How about this little quote? The secret of my success? ? It is simple. I found it in the Bible. This is why I'd like us to have a national holiday to him. Okay. Verse, how about this quote? As I worked on projects which fulfilled a real human need, forces were working through me which amazed me. I would often go to sleep with an apparently insoluble problem. When I awoke, the answer was there. Why then should we who believe in Christ be so them that are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you think about that? You know what? Then he went on to say this. Why then should we who believe in Christ be so surprised at what God can do with a willing man in a laboratory? Some things must be baffling to the critic who has never been born again. I love that. I love that. I think that we've pushed God out of the laboratory and we've pushed God out of the university. And I think to myself, how many things could have already been solved? How many things could have already been cured? How many things does God have the wisdom to give us? But sadly, the people that are studying in those areas have decided that, you know what? Part of their definition, come on now, of wisdom and intellect is an unbelief in God. And I wonder where we would be or what we would know or what could have been cured or what could have been invented if we would have scientists like, come on, George Washington Carver, that would get on their knees before they walk into a laboratory and say, God, I can't figure this out, but this is nothing for you. I just wonder where we would be. Listen, the sermon's done. What are you doing, preacher? I'm standing up here saying, yes, I do the best I can, and I mean this, the best I can to point our people to this book. But I want to really this morning very specifically point you to a book within a book, because the book of Proverbs is the primary wisdom book. The book of Proverbs, listen, will allow you to understand some things and learn some things and have God reveal you some things that you're not going to understand if you don't tap into the wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs will help you to understand people, come on, in a way that you cannot understand people if you do not understand this book. Right. The book of Proverbs will help you to improve the quality of your character. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's going to come up and challenge you. Come on, it's going to get up and challenge you a little bit concerning some of the flaws of your life and your way of thinking. And come on, it's going to deal with slothfulness. Come on, it's going to deal with tale-bearing. It's going to come and deal with some of our sins. But man, if we'll just listen, we can be so much better. And the book of Proverbs will strengthen your faith in God. Trust, this is in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Well, preacher, book of Proverbs, yeah, read it. 31 chapters, most months there's 31 days. On the days there's 30 or less, then you know what? Just double up at the end. You know what? Just don't read it. Get a journal. Get a notebook. I'm talking about as a young man, folks. I could bring them out and show them to you. Old, tattered, dog-eared, small notebooks. Just empty lined pages. But a young man that said, you know what? I'm going to get it with all my getting. And you know what I did? I read that book of Proverbs and read the book of Proverbs and read the book of Proverbs. And as I did, I jotted down and studied. Come on, do you notice that in the book of Proverbs, God kind of on purpose, listen, read it, bring a notebook, write down the wisdom God is teaching you. Guess what? You're going to have to spend some time digging and studying. That's why you got to get it with all you're getting. You're not going to find, come on, all of the verses on discretion in one chapter. You're not going to find all the verses about slothfulness in one chapter. You're not going to find all the verses on the simple man in one chapter in one place. You know what God did on purpose? If you're going to get it, you're going to have to use all you're getting. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know what? If you're going to find out these things, you're going to dig it out. You're going to read it, reread it. You're going to have to cross-reference. Come on. And some of you teenagers need to go to your mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, help me. How do I use a concordance? I mean, how do I do a word study? How can I get all of the, everything that Proverbs says about wisdom, how do I get them all on one piece of paper? You know what God's done? He said, put some effort into it. Okay, this isn't for the casual reader. He wants to see somebody. Boy, the message is so simple. I don't know if you're getting it or not. I don't know if you're getting it or not. This book is important. Listen, this book of Proverbs, when it comes to the matter of wisdom, changed my life. Every single day I relied on it. Every single week I tap into its wisdom that I've learned from it. And I just watch Christians just wandering through life, just making your best educated guess on every decision. Listen, this will change you. This will help you. This will keep you from making foolish decisions. This will keep your family in the will of God. Listen, the book of Proverbs is so important. And your preachers come up here and stood beside wisdom, and I'm challenging you. It's time for us to get back into this very important book and decide we're going to read it. And we're not going to just read it casually. We're going to take notes and we're going to jot down what the Lord teaches us. We're going to get in and we're going to cross-reference and we're going to study. You know, there's over 30 different types of people that are introduced to you in the book of Proverbs. And you need to know about every single one of these people. And once you know about them and know their character traits, you're going to know, for one thing, who to stay away from and who to get closer to. I mean, you're going to know the dangers and the tendencies. If they're in your life, you know, you will be what you are now becoming. Young people, you will one day be what you are now becoming. But if you're still young enough, you can root out some of that stuff that's negative and you can replace it with something that's positive. But you're not going to do it if you're not willing to get it. Get it! Get it, get it, get it! With all thy getting, wisdom is the principal thing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this incredible book. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to develop an appetite for it. Lord, to come up with a plan. All I can do, Lord, is do what I felt like you wanted me to do. And Lord, I kind of dropped the gauntlet. And Lord, help someone to pick it up. I'd love to see a fifth grader or a sixth grader decide, you know what? I'm going to get into the book of Proverbs. I'd like to see a teenager go out and I mean, first of the week, first time they go to Dollar General, get a notebook and a pen and say, I'm just going to read the book of Proverbs and I'm just going to write down every bit of wisdom that God teaches me along the way. Lord, I'd like to see young couples that are trying to raise these precious children around here just say, we've got to rededicate ourselves to this book. And Lord, there's no doubt there's already many in our church that love this book and are involved in reading it and understand the importance of it. Lord, I hope I just threw a little gas on the fire of what's already happening in their lives. But, oh, Lord, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us to get it with all our getting. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.